Good morning, everybody. Is everyone nice and hot, or are you cool enough, or everybody fine? The wonderful thing is we don't need technology, yeah? To say who is the greatest that has ever walked upon the earth, who?
Jesus!
Yes, amen. You don't need technology to help you with that. Won't you turn to the person next to you and just say, your hope is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Won't you pray with me? Father, it is just such a privilege and an honor to come into your presence this morning, Father. We are like the dust of the earth today here, tomorrow gone. And yet we have this opportunity to come, Lord, to worship you. And Father, we thank you that you are with us this morning, Lord. Thank you that your presence is here. Thank you that you have overcome the power of darkness and Satan has been defeated. Thank you that you have won us over, that you have called us your own children. And Father, I bring this time before you, and it's not about words, it's about your Holy Spirit. I'm nothing without you, God, and I pray that you would use this moment, this time, to draw hearts unto yourself, to make known, Lord, what you want to say. Father, I just thank you and just speak. Lord, I just ask your peace, and I ask your Holy Spirit here, Lord, touch every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing for this morning, I felt the Lord lead me to a book I had within the house. The book is called Heaven is for Real, and it's written by Todd Burpo, B-U-R-P-O. And it basically, it's about a four-year-old little boy who went in for an emergency appendectomy, I think you call it, appendectomy. And in this process of time, there's about 14 days, 10 days that the young boy hasn't eaten. The parents are really at the end of themselves. Now, I'm not going to go into discussion about the book itself, but because it says he went to heaven and he came back and he was able to tell people of what he saw, amazing things. So if you want to read it for yourself, please go. But the point that I want to look at this morning is this pivotal point in the family's life whereby the parents are at the hospital. They haven't slept in 5-6 days. They are living in desperation. And they just about, the little boys had the emergency operation. They're just about to leave the hospital. Doctor runs out and says, you've got to come back in. We found more abscesses within the child. So the boy's not able to eat. He's 4 years old. He's doubled up in pain. And it's at this point, after that tiredness, that the mother says, I can't do this anymore. And at this time, God stimulates people within their local congregation to pray. 80 people get together in a congregation and they start praying. They first phone the couple and they say, how do you want us to pray? And just before that, the doctor says, well, actually, the little boy, because his stomach's not working, he needs to release gas. Yeah. So when the church phones and says, how are we supposed to pray? This is what their answer is. Yeah. Within 1 hour of them praying, the little boy, the prayer is answered. And it goes from desperation to normal within 1 hour because of people coming together and praying. So when I was thinking about it, I already decided, I already felt in my heart what God wanted me to speak about. Can we get that on, Katie? And so we're going to be talking about prayer today. And the heading that I gave it is The Power of Prayer, Heaven Touching Earth. So what does prayer mean? What is prayer? And if you go to the next slide, Katie, it says prayer is a request to God. That's as simple it is as it is. Just looking at three characters within the Bible, Daniel, three times per day, he went into his room, faced towards Jerusalem, and he prayed. And it was on this grounds that his enemies found the way to go and convince the king to make a new law so that they could pass it to get rid of him. Although he was a captive in Babylon, God had a plan for his life, and he had made up his mind to pray 3 times daily. And in this time, he's taken, even though the king makes this rule, he stipulates and he states, no, I'm going to keep on praying to Yahweh. And he's taken away and he's thrown into the lion's den. The Lord sends an angel and blocks the lion's mouths, and he's not able to, they don't eat him. And he's a man of prayer. You can imagine before he went into the lion's den, you can imagine what he did that evening. He spent praying, yeah, because he was a man of prayer. Secondly, Elijah. Elijah, in the time of the standoff with the prophets of Baal, he's standing there and he prays for God to bring down fire. And the fire comes down from heaven and actually destroys all the stones, all the water, the sacrifice that is there, the power of prayer. And then my third example, which is the most beautiful of all, Jesus. Isn't that the most loveliest name? Jesus. Jesus. There's no other name under heaven that man shall be saved. Jesus. So Jesus, before he starts his ministry, he spends 40 days fasting and praying in the desert to prepare him for the ministry. Before he chooses his disciples, the scripture says that he spent the night in prayer, praying, who must I choose? Every day you hear, as he's going along in his ministry, you see him taking gaps, breaks from his disciples, going into the mountain, being by himself, spending time with his Father, spending time to find out which direction he should go. And then also at the Garden of Gethsemane, before he gets crucified, he spends that evening praying. The biggest challenge that lay ahead of him, the biggest temptation, the biggest testing time was there. Just walk away. And he knew what he had come to do, but it was the hardest time to pray through that. So we see that Jesus was a man of prayer, and out of his own words, Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. This comes out of the King James Version, and it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, so much more will your Father who is in heaven will give you things to those who ask him. Now if we look at that, I just want to ponder on that part a bit, because if you look at, there's nothing passive within those words. It's action words, it's active, it's ask. Now I know from my own life, it's very hard to ask. It's hard to ask for help because we're living in a world where we want to be self-dependent. We don't want to have to rely on anybody. We want to be strong. We want to be self-made people. That's what the world pushes on us and says, in order to ask for help is a weakness. And Jesus is saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek. Seek is not something sitting and waiting for something to happen. It's going to look for it. Knock is something active. Go and search it out, and you will find. With every great revival that has happened in history, it has always been when people got together and they started to pray. And they started to cry out to heaven, because there's only one person that can change the condition of our communities and of our countries and of our world. Only one person, and that's God. If I would ask you and challenge you this morning and say, how long did you spend in prayer this week? Is it 2 hours? Was it 3? Was it 5? These are the challenges that come to us as children of God, because we've got this great resource. This great resource, but in this world today, the world will push us for time. The world will have us spend time in Facebook and sit in front of the TV. Feed on things that aren't worth anything. And we've got it so it's from what's up to face up to this up to that's up. And there's a lot pulling us. There's a lot pulling us in all directions. And this is such a key, essential part. And the reason why I know in my heart that God wants us to know this is because in the last couple of days, on Friday night, I had prepared everything. Last night when I opened my computer, half the stuff was gone. I just started re-scratch. This morning, I couldn't download from my computer. This morning, technology. I'll ask you, how many of you folk have prayed for this morning's service this week? It's challenging. It's challenging like in this morning when all of a sudden things go wrong. And it's like, what now? Why? Steve, it's your fault. And it just all of a sudden it starts to, we take things for granted. And yet God is saying to us, if we ask, it will be given. But it takes a real childlike dependence. It takes us coming to the place where we're saying, God, we cannot. And that's why the world will never understand prayer. Because we're standing in surrender and we're saying, God, we need you so much. If we don't do this, God, we're not going to get anywhere. And so that's what prayer is. There's many forms of prayer. But we're going to be looking at this morning, requirements from God. It speaks about specifically in the scriptures, what do we need to do as children of God for God to hear our prayers? Katie, can we move on? A purity of heart.
Wow.
A purity of heart. I'm just so grateful that when Jesus saved me, he gave me a new heart. And he speaks about being born again. He says, you come as you are, and he gives you a new life. He gives you a new spirit within you. So if you're born again today, you are pure of heart because God has given you a new heart. He's taken the old one, the sinful nature, and he's given you a new one. So we can come before God on the purity of heart. If you haven't been saved and you've never asked Jesus into your life, you need to do that. You can't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Because it takes this statement of saying, come into my heart, Lord. You need to be born again. When you ask for something, you need to come believing. Jesus says you've got to believe that God is a giver to those who diligently seek him. So when we come and ask, God is wanting to move, and God is wanting to change circumstances, and God is wanting to do aspects in our lives. He wants us to be able to go out into the world and say what he has done in our lives. That'll blow the world away. They'll blow the world away. But we've got to ask it believing. We've got to ask in Christ's name. There's no other name under heaven and earth that man shall be saved. It is by Jesus Christ. When we come with that amazing name of Jesus, in Jesus' name we can ask. We come into the Holy of Holies where only the high priest could go. We can go now as because of the blood. In Christ's name. According to God's will. How do you know God's will? You need to seek. You need to knock. And you need to search. It's not something that just, it's something that we've got to be active in. We've got to be looking for. And sometimes it doesn't come in the direction that you want. I remember in Lorraine and myself's case in South Africa, just circumstances. And we were asking God for a solution, just saying, God, we really need you to come through. And just every aspect that we went to the elders in the church, I said, look, this is the case. We need your prayers. And every door we knocked on seemed to be shut closed. And then all of a sudden, Lorraine and I, we started seeking God's face. And we're saying, God, what do you want from us? Are we praying incorrectly? Because we're just wanting solutions for the problem. But God was actually stirring us and saying, actually, I want you to go back to England. Did we really want to? No. We stayed three streets from the beach. We had the mountains behind us. Who wants to come to the UK? No. So we say, God, right, Lord Jesus, we hear you. We hear what you're saying. I'm putting out a fleece. And I'm saying, Lord, if you want me to go, you've got to provide the ticket. About 10 minutes later, my phone goes off with someone putting in about 7,000 rand into my account. I still don't know who it is. I said, right, Lorraine, we're going. And I got onto a plane with 70 pounds in my pocket. And I said, God, I know you want me, you want us here as a family. Don't know why. Don't ask questions, because I say my life is yours. I don't have the right to ask why. I'm your slave, and if you want to pour me out as a broken, as a in front of people to be a laughing stock, that's also okay. So sometimes the according to God's will is not what you want to hear. But you've got to want to hear what God has for you. A forgiving spirit. This is a real pivotal one, because as the Our Father prayer says, before you come before God, make sure that you've forgiven those who have trespassed against you. Yeah, that's a big one for us. It's a big one. And I'm talking about, because it's not about a feeling, it's an act of your will when you say, Lord, I forgive them. And I set them free. And the bad things have happened to us. Bad things have happened to Christians. We're talking about previous marriages, we're talking about abuse in youth. There's some bad stuff that's happened, and you've got to let that go, because God has forgiven you and me of my sins. So we've got to forgive. So we've got to be forgiving. Simplicity. God uses the scripture where he says, where he shows in Matthew 6, verse 40, Matthew 6, verse 5 and 6, don't come with large words. God knows already what you need before you ask for it, because he knows your heart. He made you. Just come with simplicity. Humility and repentance. And that scripture, Luke 18, verse 10 to 14, it speaks about the two people that come to the temple, and the one is saying, God, I'm so glad I'm not like that person. I give my tithe, and I uphold the law. And the other chap is standing far off. It says he doesn't even want to come too close. He doesn't even want to lift his eyes. And he's saying, God, please forgive me as a sinner. And Jesus says in his words, he says, that man went out justified. Humble and repentant. Unity of believers, where two or more gathered. Jesus says, if we can stand together in one thing and we believe in it and we pray for it, God will move on our behalf. If we can, to get in today's society, it's hard to get two people to agree on the same topic. And yet God is saying, with us, if we stand together as a group and we pray, we can make a difference. Tenacity, the scripture that's mentioned there is when the lady comes before the judge and says to the judge, the judge is neither believer of God nor fear of man. But because the woman's creating an agitation in him, being tenacious and saying, I want it done, he's saying, well, I better get it done, or else she's going to make my life a hang. So tenacity, we've got to come with tenacity. Importunity, I think it is. Is that right? You're all giggling at me. Jesus, that scripture is talking about the guy who's sleeping. He's already in bed. He's got his kids next to him. It's late at night, and someone's come to visit a friend of mine, and I haven't got food. You've got to give me food. The guys, go away. It's late. I don't want to get up. I'm with my kids in bed. And the guy keeps on knocking. Keeps on knocking. Until the guy gets up. Not because he likes his friend, but because he's making a bit of a harassment of himself. And sometimes we've got to make a little bit of a harassment of ourselves. We've got to come before God and grab hold of him and say, Lord, we need you to do this. We need you to do this. I believe that God wants to do great things. Intensity, Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11, we're looking at the scripture mentioned before. Again, there's nothing passive about that. It's all active. It's, God, I'm hungry for you. I need this. I need you to move on this behalf. I know you can because you made heaven and earth just with the outpouring of your breath. You've made everything. God, you can touch. You see Nebuchadnezzar, 5 years, gone insane. You know, he comes out, and most of you know the story. He comes out of his palace, and he goes, look what I've created. And God touches him, takes his mind away, and he wanders like a beast for 5 years. And then God restores him. God restores him. And when God restores him, he comes back into his kingdom, and he's able to give glory to God. Because God is the one. Look at Moses. Moses standing before God and says, I can't speak, Lord. I'm not a good talker. And God says, who gives man the ability to speak? Who gives man the ability to communicate? Is it not me? God is an awesome God. Amen? Amen. Confident expectancy, Mark 11. We've got to expect God. We've got to come with expectancy. We've got this thing in my house that on a Saturday evening before church, we don't watch TV. We get our minds ready for the next day. We pray. We get into your word. Go listen to old sermons. Get your mind and your heart ready. When you get the hunger inside of you to come. When you come in here, it's not about what am I going to receive. It's about, Lord, I'm coming to give. Coming to give. Whatever you want from me, God. You want to send me to Africa? You want to send me to India? You want me to pour out my life? Lord, here I am. Here I am. Without many words. Unceasingly. Says we've got to pray without ceasing. It's so much easier in today's technology, isn't it? Because you can be in your car and you could be talking to God. And in the old days, 10, 20 years, people would see you drive past you and you'd be talking to yourself and they go, nutter. And at least now you can say, no, I'm a mobile, you know, talking. You can just talk away to God. You can just talk away and just say, Lord, I just bring before you this and I bring before you that. And thank you, Jesus. It's just such, it's about being active and praying, knowing that God holds our lives in his hands. Unless, and if we look in the past, in the history, revivals and changes of families where people, if you look in the history of where people were converted, where they come out of families where they were beating their children and their wives, is when people started to pray. Many of us here is because someone prayed for you. Someone prayed for you. Someone prayed for you. And again, the world will take our time for watching TV and watching stuff and just being busy with things that are not important. And in the end of it, when we get to eternity, we're going to go, I wasted my life. I wasted my life. So what do we pray for? What do we pray for? Pray for Gideon Wells. Yeah. Pray for Gideon Wells. Gideon's had a word over his life. Pray for him. Pray for Matt Ayers. That's in hospital at the moment, who desperately needs a place in a rehabilitation center in Yaldol Manor. There's finances that are needed. Desperate. Pray for the church and the leaders. Leaders here to be able to lead this church in the vision that God has placed here. There's people here struggling with sicknesses, people with cancer. Mervyn and Sheila, Brenda, Bernard. There's so much prayer and so much to pray for. Our communities, we have people that are in this community that don't know Christ. Jesus is saying that in the scriptures that if they would die today, they would come before God and they would not be allowed into heaven. Can you imagine going through life, which can be really difficult, and then going into an eternity that's even worse? We need to pray. We need to commit our lives to prayer when In the morning, it's hard. I know it's hard. It's hard to rip off that duvet, leave your wife's side and go and pray. On the way to work, at work, pray for your work. Who else do we pray for? We pray for countries. We need to pray for England. We need to pray for the decisions on the referendum that is coming up. God can reach in and he can touch and he can move according to his plan and his will. But it takes his people coming together in one spirit and saying, I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to commit to this. Pray for Africa. There's people in Korea that are Christians, born-again Christians, that are being killed daily for their faith. We sit here so freely. We get a bit hung up because our gadgets aren't working a bit better. These people are, their life is at the end of a string. They don't know if they're going to face tomorrow. Pray for them. Pray for Israel. Yeah, pray for Israel. So much going on around Israel. It's a true indication of world events. Pray for Israel. Where do we pray? We pray, we go into the quiet room where God calls us to pray and intercede, where there are no large bands and worship teams. It's just you on your face. There's different postures. You can sit, you can stand, you can get on your knees. There's different places spoken in the scriptures. It can be in a church. It can be right on the riverside. It can be in your private room. There's no limitations of where you can pray. But the question is, will you pray? There's a saying, and I hope it gets it right. It goes, all it takes for evil to abound is for good people not to do anything. Not to do anything, yeah? And again, we're so busy. I speak about my own life. We're so pulled in all directions. And the question is, we are in a war. And our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against every principality and power. So when we pray about meetings like this morning. We pray for the worship team. We pray for the elders. We pray for people that are actually part of this group. And sometimes we just come on a Sunday morning taking it for granted. Church is always going to be here. It just means we need to be more, I don't want to say put more intensity in it, but we need to be realizing that God has called us to be a praying people. And if that question that I asked you earlier, how long did we spend this week praying? It kind of gives an indication of where our hearts are at and where the world, sometimes it takes a little bit of a fast away from Facebook, fast away from TV. I promise you, you'll feel better. It just kind of bogs you down. I know you want to see events. I'm not saying throw your TV out. I would if my wife would let me. I'm not saying that. But we have to be, to make a difference, we have to grab hold of God and be tenacious. And to say, Lord, we're going to trust you for Gideon. We're going to trust you for Matt. We're going to trust you for Bernard and for Brenda and for Mervyn. And for all those that I'm sorry I'm not mentioning this morning. But if we don't, the question is, how will we change? How will we affect the place that we live in and the people that we work amongst? There's a scripture that I want to end with. I know it's hot, almost there. So these are just a couple of things that why answers to prayer are refused based on. So there's sin. Got to deal with sin. So unrepented and undealt with sin. Selfishness. If we come with selfish ambition, God's not going to answer us. Doubt. You like the wave of the sea, tossed and turned with no direction. disobedience. In humanity, the proverb speaks about if you don't listen to someone who's crying because he's hungry, then no one's going to listen to your cry. Pride. I don't need anybody. I'm on my own island, and I'm not going to be asking anybody for anything. Pride. But on the other hand, Katie, can we get the next one? 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. There's prayer within the week here. If you're interested in coming on Mondays, we have 7:30. We have prayer here, prayer matters. Throughout the week as well, if you can speak to Martin or Paul or one of the elders. There's always something going on. In Soham on a Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, we get together at the monument and we walk through Soham praying for Soham. How about someone sparking it off in Iceland? How about someone doing that if it's not being done already? Someone said to me once, you want a ministry for God, it's based on the foundation of prayer. If you take a table and you go, how much sand can I fit onto that table? As big as your ministry is as big as the foundation of prayer. If we want to do amazing things for God, that's where we build on. Amen. Can I just pray for us, Paul? Father, I want to thank you this morning, Lord. I thank you that your yoke is not heavy. And though sometimes you challenge us because you love us and you want, Lord, to do great things. Father, I pray, I ask you, Lord, to help us to pray and to carry one another in prayer. To love one another, Lord, to pray when we get together in groups, to pray when we're on our own, to pray as church groups. Father, we want you to turn this island, Islam around. We want you to turn this island around. We want you, Lord, to use us in the workplace. We see so many people lost, so many people on their own, just on their own vision, not knowing what life is about, without hope. We pray, Lord, that we will lift them up in prayer. We thank you for just going before us and being the greatest prayer warrior that there is. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for coming. We hope to see you this evening. And have a good afternoon.